Fisting today with OSU's Seth Bird. We're talking about cotton. And we had the prospective plantings report come out last week. Oklahoma cotton had 530,000 acres, which was 35,000 more than we had last year. So start us off by telling us, why do you think that we had so much more? You think it was the high prices or kind of all things?
Yeah, I definitely think that the market, the price has likely driven a lot of that increase. But you know, obviously these are prospective planning. So it's, you know, trying to predict what's going to happen. And I would say that when it comes down to it, a lot of the actual planting is going to really depend on if we have any significant moisture in the next 2 months, a month and a half, particularly in our southwest part of the state. You know, so there's that increase, that may be some increase in acres. And a lot of the conversations I've had the last few months have been with folks that are going to go back into cotton that maybe have, you know, sort of tried it as part of the rotation in northern Oklahoma or eastern Oklahoma for the past few years. But if you look at, you know, a map of 90-day rainfall and see the patterns of it, the southwest part of the state has just been missing a lot of these rain events. And I think there is some uncertainty down there in terms of what we're going to see planted if this pattern continues. Now, I'll say we've probably been in this same situation a few times recently, and we'll catch a rain in late April or early May, and that changes everything. And that could very well happen again this year. But I think what we're seeing right now is that the increase is probably coming from cotton being a more attractive option to folks in some of these newer areas or less traditional areas. But at the same time, we could see a drop in acreage in some of our more traditional regions of the state.
Who have you talked to that's actually gotten a pretty good amount of rain as far as like producers across the state? I know that we've had some little rain events here and there. So what is everybody kind of saying?
Yeah, I guess good's all relative, right? I mean, I think everybody probably would like to have more than what we've gotten. But over the last couple of weeks, at least looking at the rainfall patterns, you know, there's been some decent rain that's come through some of our northern counties, you know, on the Kansas border. There's been some rain in the south central areas of the state, and even just, you know, sort of along I-40, but it's really hit and miss. We haven't seen that widespread rain event that kind of comes through and dumps an inch and a half over the whole state. We haven't gotten one of those. So I don't know if anybody would describe their current moisture situation or their recent rainfall totals as being good, but I think there's certainly areas of the state that have caught more than others. But really, you know, when you talk about cotton and you talk about outlook on planting this year, we're going to need some widespread events to make anybody anywhere feel, you know, good about what they're going into. And I think, you know, it goes beyond just a planting rain. Also, we need a planting rain to get the crop established. But you've got to have some moisture in the profile to drive the crop. And we're a predominantly dryland state. And even our irrigated crop is probably, at least a good portion of it is on limited irrigation. So, yeah, a lot is going to depend on the precipitation we get in the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Well, speaking of that, with planting season underway, how much rain do you realistically have or need before you can even get started? Or does that matter and you just kind of go for it?
Obviously, you could say none. We have a lot of cotton that is dusted in and waits on a rain. So there's always that option. I think when we talk about an adequate scenario would be moisture, a decent amount of moisture within the top inch to 2 inches. You never want to chase. So you've really got to have the deeper profile moisture, but you've also got to have a planting rain to give you enough moisture, which it doesn't take a ton, but you got to have enough moisture for the seed to imbibe water and start the germination process to get emergence. You know, if you plant shallow enough, you can get 3/10 of an inch in certain soil types and still get germination and emergence. You know, deeper planted, different soil types, you'd like to see 1/2 inch to 1 inch accumulation over time to really drive emergence. Because it's also, germination is not the end of it. You've got to get the plant emerged and you got to get it to grow off. So you're constantly needing to tap into resources. And it doesn't take a ton of water for cotton to germinate. It doesn't take a lot for it to emerge, but you've got to have it there because you've got to still be able to drive the growth early season. And honestly, too little water is probably a better scenario than too much from what we've seen in the past. So it's sort of a as far as an amount goes, it's hard to put a number on, but you know it when you've got it.
Well, just looking at the wheat over these past couple of weeks, just the little bit of rain we have had makes a huge difference.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And we just had a conversation with quite a few of the cotton specialists about cover crops. And, you know, if you're planting cotton into some of this wheat, your wheat's obviously looking better. And if you're in a scenario where you're not harvesting the wheat, you know, you're using it as a cover, it looks better, but golly, you got to hope you get another rain between, you know, now and then, because it's definitely going to use some of that profile moisture up, having that wheat crop on there. So if you're in a situation where you're following wheat, probably not in a double crop, probably as a terminated cover, you'd like to see some additional rainfall after you've got this wheat crop. If you're going to plant cotton onto a terminated wheat, you'd like to see some more rainfall if you've got termination application done.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, I know that there's a new project that you guys are doing at Oklahoma State where you're trying to optimize cotton irrigation and production. So tell us a little bit about that project.
Yeah, so Summit Sharma, who is based at our Panhandle Research Center in Goodwell out in there west of Guymon, he led the project. So really what we're trying to look at is in some of these areas of Oklahoma, particularly, you know, specifically the Panhandle. And then, of course, we do have some collaborators at Kansas State. So also Southwest and Western Kansas is going to be involved in this. And some of these areas where cotton has gained a foothold in a rotation, or, you know, in some areas, you know, planted continuously every year in an irrigated production environment, we're really trying to optimize the use of irrigation in that system. There are some inherent challenges to, really there's some inherent challenges to irrigating cotton regardless of where you're at. Just because you've got irrigation, you know, it makes some things easier, but to be efficient with irrigation is a challenge no matter where we are in the belt. And that's why irrigation and cotton studied extensively throughout the country and continues to be studied. Specifically for this area, for this Panhandle and Southwest Kansas area, you know, it's a very arid environment. It's probably one of the lower rainfall environments in the cotton belt. The opposite of that, or the flip side of that, is going to be that it's also probably the shortest season environment in the cotton belt. So yeah, we need to have supplemental irrigation because we're needing to supplement very little rainfall to get that crop established. And in an area where you can get water stress or water deficit very rapidly. But you can also end up with immature cotton, poor quality fiber, if you get your irrigation or you get the water supply wrong, or you just get excessive rainfall. So it's a much, you know, tighter line to tread or thinner line to tread, you know, compared to maybe other places where they don't have to typically worry about the maturity issues. So it's not just irrigating to maximize production. It's trying to efficiently use water to optimize the overall return. So yield and quality of the crop. And so that's the main, you know, overall goal of that work.
And how long is it going to go on? How long does the study go on?
You know, this specific study will probably last 3 or 4 years. We've been doing irrigation work in the Panhandle since I've been working with Jason Warren out there since I started here almost. I think we had he had a little study going on in 2018, and we established one irrigation study in 2019 and another one in addition to that in 2020. And then I think he studied or established another one last year. So we've got three studies that have already been established out there. This will be a one that goes on top of that. So, you know, this study will probably last another, you know, like I said, 3 or 4 years, but as far as irrigation work in the Panhandle, it's for now, it's going to be an every year to some extent focus of our research program.
Well, I know this Friday, we're going to see some new supply and demand data coming out for April. So what are your expectations or projections, or do you have any?
Oh yeah. Who knows, right? I mean,
exactly. I don't know.
It's so hard to predict anything anymore. Not that it was ever easy, but there just seems to be so many factors that are tweaking, you know, and I hate using buzzwords and stuff like that, but it's a global market. So what happens all across the globe affects everything. So yeah, who knows? I always think it's interesting though, just from my perspective, and not that I have an opinion one way or the other or have a guess, but I always do like to see the projections on supply, just, you know, how many bales are projected to be produced in different places. I just always find that interesting. I don't know how you can even come up with those numbers. I'm sure people, there's a formula and they're a lot smarter than I am, but it usually is obviously based off, you know, how much they think's going to be planted and where it's going to be planted. And so it's always interesting to me and how those numbers come out and then how they change through the year.
Absolutely. You feel like producers, cotton producers, still pretty positive right now?
Oh, positive? If it would rain. Yeah.
Everybody would feel better if it rained.
I would say our cotton producers are as determined as ever.
Absolutely.
You know, we're gonna go into it, trying to make a crop just like any other year, and hopefully the environment cooperates with us. I think, you know, it's been a kind of a rough couple of years. You know, last year that we didn't have the greatest conditions, but the prices kind of helped everybody out. And then this year, obviously, conditions are, as of now, we're not in the season yet, but as of now, you know, there's a lot of things that are on our wish list, plus the obvious input challenges we have this year. But luckily, the price is favorable. So hopefully we can capitalize on that. Again, if the environment will cooperate.
All right, Seth Bird, thanks for visiting with us today.
Thank you.